Welcome to the Discovery Group Leader Training Podcast. This is a training podcast for group leaders, and we're here to empower you to be the most effective leader you can be. Why? Because Jesus gave all of us, as his disciples, the mission to make more disciples. And when we look at his example, we see that Jesus was himself a group leader.
Yes, he was.
So we're trusting that if it worked for Jesus, it will work for us.
Mm-hmm.
We're your hosts. Ben, you're here.
I am Ben Markham.
Ben Markham, thank you for being here every time. My name is David Baltus, and we're glad to be with you. We're going to finish today seven challenging group members with the final four. We all have these members present in our group at times, and it's good to know what to expect and how to address these situations and personalities. Last time we discussed the one who dominates discussion, the one who doesn't talk, and the very needy person. Today, we're going to cover the last four. We start with the primarily task-oriented person.
David, yeah, talk to us about this, the primarily task-oriented person. This is the person that's probably keeping checklists during your small group, watching the clock. What do you do for that person?
I think if they're less relationally focused and more task-driven, the simple solution is give them a job.
Yes.
Give them responsibilities in the group, because that is how they want to serve and function. And then hopefully we can bring them along in the relational side. Affirm the job when they do it. I think that's another part of it. And then even though they may not have a priority on jumping into discussion, we can throw them the conversational ball by affirming them as many other styles. Affirm them and ask them what they think, because we value them.
One job you can give them too is to ask them to be either the recorder of God's sightings.
Yeah.
Like, keep a record of answered prayer.
Exactly.
And also the recorder of prayer requests.
Yes.
And so I've given them the job before of recording all the prayer requests and texting those prayer requests out to the group during the week.
Yeah, for sure.
And so they can even manage the group discussion, the group chat. Having a group chat's a great way to keep in touch during the week, but it's a great way to remind your people to pray. That's a job somebody else can own.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
You might find that person is so task-oriented that they could even be a co-group leader for you and do all the stuff that you don't want to do, like take attendance.
All the administrative things. Yeah, for sure.
Take attendance, sending out the weekly reminders, which our system automatically generates for group leaders. But giving them something to do, I think, values them. There are certainly some people who show up and they're like, I could be doing something right now. And they don't realize that being in a group is doing something.
Yeah.
Because they're just more task-minded. One of the things we said in the first part of this is we don't feel like all of these people show up all the time to all of our groups.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to have, if all seven of these people show up in one group, good luck, right? But we don't anticipate that happening. We just know that it does happen in some groups some of the time. So you new group leaders, don't be freaked out as we're talking about challenging people and run a bunch of scenarios in your head of what am I going to do? We're going to help you figure out what to do. And one of the things that you can always do is reach out to the group pastor at your campus.
Yes.
And so currently for us, that's David, Karen, and Zach. And so you'll know the group pastor on your campus. So they're going to be the ones that have interviewed you to be a part of it. They're your support.
Yes.
This podcast hopefully is supporting you, but go to your pastors and talk to them about this, about these people as you have them in your group, on how to best shepherd them, love them, because we want these people to come to our groups.
We do.
That might sound weird to say, because you're like, well, they're challenging. Yeah, but the world's full of challenging people that need Jesus.
And exactly.
And they need, and I believe deserve, community.
They do.
And so we want them in our small groups. So
we do.
We got three more to get through here. So the primarily task-oriented person. The second one is the awkward non sequitur person.
Well, tell us what an awkward non sequitur is, Ben.
Yes. So the awkward non sequitur is where a person says something that has nothing to do with
totally off track.
Anyone else is saying, or they take one part of the sentence and they relate it to something else in their life, and you're suddenly off in a completely different direction, and they want to take you to a totally different conversation. I think we're all capable of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I probably do this when I'm talking to my wife about my day.
Yeah.
And I've got a few thoughts going at the same time, or she'll do it to me, and I'll have to stop her and say, How do we get there?
Oh, yeah.
How do we get to that?
Oh,
and she'll replay, or I'll rewind and say, here's how we got there. When that happens in a group context, it can kind of throw people for a loop. And so when you're kind of going down this train of you're discussing Philippians chapter 4, and then the person is suddenly off into politics, which is, you know, a difficult one to begin with. We don't actually have the political person in here.
No.
As a difficult, maybe we just do a podcast on that.
Another
person.
One.
but the awkward non sequitur, what do you do in that situation? And I think what you want to try to do as they're expressing something that seems to go in a different direction is to thank them. First, affirm them. Hey, thank you so much. We always appreciate what you have to share. That's a really good topic. But the focus tonight is on this topic. And so maybe if there's time at the end, we'll come back around to this.
Yeah, that's a great
plan.
I'd
love to take the group back over to the track that I feel like we're supposed to be on today, if that's okay with you. And they'll go, yeah, of course, sure. And usually they'll recognize that's what they did. There's a difference too, I think, between small bunny trails and big ones.
Yes.
Your awkward non sequitur will make a big one. And if it's really big and there's no way for you mentally to figure out how to tie it back to the subject, mm-hmm. then you just have to stop them and thank them for what they shared, for who they are, and then try to bring it back over to the other topic. The smaller rabbit trails, you can say, okay, that was good. I think that fits in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And you make the connection back to the topic.
Yeah.
Let's move on from here and then move away from that person. I'd like to hear from some others.
Exactly.
Because the awkward non sequitur might go, ooh, I can do that subject too. And then they jump back in. I would move back over to another person and say, let's hear what some others have to say about this subject.
Exactly. The next one is the vanishing member.
Yeah.
Haven't we all had these? They start out well and all kinds of things comes up. All kinds of things come up. This is someone who at some point rarely shows up. They start not attending. I think I would start with some consistent contact with them, kind of pursue them, follow up with them, maybe even meet one-on-one with them to ask about the behavior and to affirm your care for them. And one of the things you could ask them is, hey, I know you signed up. I know you've been. You haven't been in a long time. Is this not a good season for you? Mm-hmm. Have things in life, your other responsibilities, overwhelmed you? And then you could offer them a gracious way to exit the group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a caring thing to do as well for a semester, because it's okay if people don't have the time, even though they wanted to.
Some people do overcommit.
They
get into it and they realize that they have. Others, I think the enemy tries to derail them.
Yes.
And what can get them back on track is a loving outreach. Is somebody, maybe it's not you as the group leader. Maybe there's a close friend in the group that can reach out to them. I think what's so important is that you don't take it personal.
Exactly.
And you communicate to them, you haven't taken it personal that they haven't been showing up to the group. Mm-hmm. You're concerned for them.
Yes.
And you're not concerned about yourself so much. And when you talk to them, you want to tell them the value they add.
Yeah.
Hey, you add so much value that when you're not there, we really notice. And not to put pressure on you, we just want you to know it's really great having you there. And we'd love to have you back. Is anything going on in your life I can pray with you about? Which gets into what you talked about. Perhaps they need an out, and sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
And perhaps they need to meet with a group on another night.
Yeah.
Is there a better time for you than the night that we're meeting? Because I could probably help you find another group. Or we could talk to one of our group pastors and see if they can help you find another group.
Yes.
But it's showing care and concern. This person will take a little bit more of your time and your work to chase them down. But man, we are called to go after the one, you know,
we are
not just the 99. And so it's God's work to do that. All right. Well, our last one is the interrupter. Okay. This is the person. They're different from the awkward non sequitur, because an awkward non sequitur might let people finish what they have to say.
Yes.
They just might take it a completely different direction.
Yes.
The interrupter get so excited about what they have to say that they don't let the person finish the thought or the statement that they were rolling with.
Yes.
And most of the time, I'm just somebody who trusts people's motives. Most of the time, the interrupter didn't really mean to hurt somebody's feelings or minimize what they were saying.
Right.
But if they interrupt because they disagree, or if they interrupt because they were just really excited, it really is on the group leader.
It is.
To think of yourself as a referee in a basketball game. You're just blowing the whistle.
Yeah.
If you were playing in a basketball game and other people broke the rules and the refs didn't blow the whistle, eventually the players are like, why are we playing?
Mm-hmm.
They get frustrated. They're like, well, it's not fair anymore. And so the way I address this, and I think it's loving and caring, is to let the interrupter, if they're already rolling, let them finish, as long as they're not going on too long, and say, hey, thank you so much for sharing that. What I hear you saying is this, I think that's a good point. However, I felt like this person hadn't quite finished what they had to say, and exactly. What they have to say is really important too.
Yeah.
And we really value them. So why don't we just pause on what you had to say for a minute. We'll come back to it. I would like to just hear if there's anything else that he or she has to offer to the group. And that person doesn't typically feel scolded because you've affirmed them. If you practice that, here's what I hear you're saying, then you're telling them you listened to them and you heard them.
Exactly.
Now, sometimes somebody interrupts and there is a moment, if you're a personality like mine, where you can go, oh, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stop them quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine too. It's like, oh, that was really, really good. Or I really want to hear what you have to say.
Yes.
But I want to make sure we finish theirs first. So can you hold yours for just another moment and let's let Alice or Jim finish
exactly
what they have to say. So there's the quick one where you jump in, but if you can't get in and interrupt them, then let's, you know, let them finish out and bring it back to that person. And I often found the interrupter will apologize, like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I would love to hear what they have to say. Please go ahead. I didn't mean to jump in.
I've experienced that too.
Yeah. And they'll, you know, I think most of the time the interruption is, it's just not coming from a bad place. It's coming from excitement, or they've studied this subject, or they have a personal life story to go with it. And so you want to affirm the person, affirm what they shared, but equally affirm the person they interrupted and the value of what they had to say.
Yes. So the key takeaway is we can encourage challenging members by being aware of these situations and being prepared in advance.
Yes.
So join us next time for another timely group topic. This one will be a surprise.
All right.
Remember, the better the leader, the better the group. So let's go make some disciples.
Make disciples.
Make disciples.